It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up, Governor Evers wants to use state funds to help pay for renovations for the Brewers Stadium. Republican lawmakers aren't backing his plan, but say they may support a combo of state and local public funding. We'll get the latest, and you could share your thoughts. First, we got our first glimpse of summer weather across a lot of Wisconsin last week, with plenty of sunshine, temperatures well into the 70s for a lot of the state. That dipped back down, but the temporary spring thaw gave us an opportunity to get back outside and enjoy the world of nature our state has to offer. So here's a question for you. Call in at 800-642-1234. What outdoor activity is your sign that spring and then summer are here? Where are your favorite places in Wisconsin to experience the outdoors? And what did you spend the winter looking forward to do when it got warmer? Call now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@wpr.org. Maybe you've done it already or you're getting ready to, getting out on a boat, a bike, just your own backyard. Maybe it's gardening you've been looking forward to. We want to hear what your favorite outdoor activities are as the weather warms up. Even if you were cooped up inside up until now, what are you looking forward to when the weather is fully warmed up? Maybe it's a city, county, or state park in your area. Maybe it's a favorite sport or other athletic activity that just doesn't work as well indoors and or when there's snow on the ground. Maybe it's a fun family picnic or a nap on the hammock. Tell us about the warm weather fun that's good for your soul at 800-642-1234. We asked her on the Central Time team. Producer Lauren Cox said the surest sign of warmer weather is patio seating at his favorite restaurant and bars. Yes, that's a good one. And something about seeing the chairs return to the Memorial Union Terrace in Madison is the signal that we've survived the long winter months and brighter days are ahead. And Dean Knetter says he's looking forward to attempting to garden. That's about how I do it, too. Dean says, I cleared a bunch of stuff out, sticks, stalks, leaves from the flower beds last weekend. The splinters were worth it just to be outside. Going to have to start listening to more garden talk. Good idea. Thanks for that, Dean. Now, how about you? What are you looking forward to do to get outside as the weather warms up? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can also email, as you always can, ideas@wpr.org. Let's go to your calls now. Lou is with us in Ashland. Lou, hi.
Hey there. I'm so glad to see ground. You have no idea. My dog, who's a little bit older now, she's got beginnings of hip issues, and the walls are closing in. She's so mopey, and I want to be able to take her out and let her walk wherever and not the same little area that has no snow. And, you know, it's just, it was so limiting this winter. And I just want her to go wherever she wants to go. Her nose takes her everywhere.
Mm. Now you're in Ashland, so that day comes a little later than people in a lot of the state. Have you been able to do some of that already, Lou?
Well, during those 4 days of summer that we got, yeah, we got out and we had some fun, but, and I'm a driver, so I see that, you know, Superior didn't get anything that we got, you know, in this past week. But, you know, I'm really hoping that this rain washes this away, and I'll take the little bit of mud and dirt that she brings in the house. You know, if that means that we get closer to the time when we can just walk outside, whatever, you know, it doesn't matter, night, morning, whatever. We can go and just let her go where she wants to go.
And I got to ask, I think everybody's probably wondering the same thing, Lou. Those nice warm days where the dog got out to walk wherever, did your dog get less mopey?
Less mopey, but she also got two ticks.
Oh, no, ticks already.
Well, yes.
There's always downsides, Lou. Thanks a lot for starting us off. That's great. At 800-642-1234. Eric joins us next in Beloit. Hi, Eric. Are you there, Eric?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, what do you look forward to doing this time of year?
I'm looking forward to picking my mushrooms off my mushroom logs. I grow shiitake mushrooms.
Wow. Okay. How hard is that to pull off? Or is it super easy? I don't know. I've never tried doing that.
You just need a chainsaw and a drill and some spores and a lot of time, like a year of patience.
And how long have you been doing this? Is this your first go around or is this like a years long project you've been doing?
I've been doing it for a few years now and I'm running about 40% success rate at this point, but, I do get some mushrooms once in a while.
Okay. Well, tomorrow's Food Friday. What are we doing with those shiitake mushrooms, Eric?
They're good with anything.
Yeah.
They're good with all stuff.
Fantastic. Eric, thanks a lot for sharing that with us. I should ask Rigo, when does the crop show up? When do you get to start harvesting them?
I actually had two mushrooms the other day, but I should have like 30 or 40 in a week or two.
Fantastic. Oh, it's shiitake season. I did not know that. Eric, thanks a lot for sharing that with us at 800-642-1234. Now, the weather's a little up and down lately, but our question for you today is, what do you spend the winter looking forward to doing when it warms up? What are your outdoor activities that you really look forward to this time of year or in the months to come? You could share yours at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Again, we asked around Central Time here. Colleen Leahy says, my favorite warm weather activity is just sitting outside and also swimming. I love swimming. That's great. I don't do enough outside swimming. I really get the sitting outside thing. Just like when it's warm enough or almost warm enough to hang out on the back porch and just read or have a meal out there. That is fantastic. I look forward to that a lot. Back to your calls at 800-642-1234. Jed is with us in Le Coudre. Jed, hi.
Hello.
What are you looking
happy
forward
spring.
To? Yeah, happy spring to you too, Jed.
I'm digging the migratory birds, The morning chorus getting bigger, new bird songs every day. I'm really looking forward to slow walks and foraging, ramps, fiddleheads, morels, oysters, and then just into the wildflowers and the herbs and things.
Yeah, where do you like to go for foraging and just seeing the birds and all that, Jed?
I'm in the North Woods. I'm in Northwest Wisconsin, so we have the Nicolet and
you got a lot of that.
Endless woods, you know. So it's a real treat just to see it come around again. Our old friend the flicker and the woodpeckers affiliated, and seeing the robins together and worms coming up and phoebes and things.
Yeah. And Jed, you mentioned foraging those ramps. I love ramps. What do you like to do with them for cooking?
I just eat them like candy in the wild, but then I just keep it simple and plain, you know, with wild foods, foraged foods, however you like to cook, whatever you like to eat, just add your wild foods and add the mushrooms and things. And it makes it super special. So there's no, when you start with a good ingredient, there's no going wrong. It's good, and it's gonna be good. But just beware, because you might develop a taste for it, and then you find you can't eat spaghetti sauce without wild mushrooms.
Jed, thanks a lot for sharing that. You got a lot on your plate this season, literally and figuratively. Thanks for calling in at 800-642-1234. Jeff is with us now in Superior. Jeff, what do you got going on?
Well, I'll tell you, this weather is so unpredictable up here.
Yes, here too.
I narrowed my choices to snow peas and iceberg lettuce.
Okay, so do you have them? Do you start them inside and then bring them out when the weather seemingly has settled down?
Yeah, but I think they're apropos for the weather. They're aptly named.
Definitely. What kind of lettuces do you do?
Well, I like the red and the bib lettuce.
Oh yeah,
I do them small. Sometimes they don't even make it outside. I eat them on a sandwich, especially tuna sandwiches.
Fantastic, Jeff. Well, good luck with the garden this year.
Thank you.
We are asking you to share your favorite outdoor activity this time of year, or as the weather settles down, what have you been looking forward to doing in spring and summer through the winter? Join in at 800-642-1234. Wendy joins us now in Rhinelander. Wendy, hi.
Hi, I agree with Jim. I think he was the caller before the last one. I enjoy watching the birds.
And what are you seeing these days in the Rhinelander neck of the woods?
Big fat robins. They're ready to lay their eggs.
Excellent. And do you put out feeders, or you just wander out in the neighborhood or nature? How do you spot your birds?
I put feeders up, but you have to bring them in every night because, you know, the bears are out.
Oh, you don't want to do bear watching in your backyard. I respect that.
Well, no, I don't want to replace all the shepherd books that they bend over.
That too. Wendy, I love it. Happy bird watching this year. Thanks a lot for calling in. Hey, we're asking you for your favorite outdoor activities as the weather warms up. Still room for your call at 800-642-1234. Do you feel happier when you get out into the warm sunshine when available? What kind of impact does warmer weather have on your well-being? And are there things you've already been able to get out and do? Did you get the boat or bike or motorcycle out or grill? Any of those things if you put them away for the winter? What have you been looking forward to do? What is your cabin fever look ahead cure? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll continue the conversation coming up here on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up the conversation about fun outdoor activities this time of year. The weather's starting to warm up in Wisconsin. It did a lot, an unusual amount last week. We're getting closer to full spring weather and summer, even if we have the occasional cold days and very rainy days. No surprise mixed in there. And here's what we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. What is your favorite outdoor activity this time of year? What gives you that warm, happy feeling when you're out in the sunshine? Is it gardening, boating, biking, hiking, you name it? Fill in your own answer at 800-642-1234. Is there something special in your part of the state? Call 800-642-1234. Back to your calls now. Shaylin is with us in Buffalo City. Shaylin, hi.
Hey. So we are coming up to springtime, which means it is dye season, making natural dyes from foraged plants and things in our garden. And it is so much fun to see it turn into beautiful colors you would never expect to find.
Okay. I want to know more, Shaylin. What kind of, we're talking plants here, I imagine, or maybe not. Yeah. I don't know. What are you making dyes out of? What kind of colors are you getting?
So it's kind of always a surprise. You really, really never know what you're going to get. Something that a lot of people have in their garden is rhubarb. Those rhubarb leaves that you usually throw away, you can put those in a crock pot and let them seep for a day. And then you get this beautiful, beautiful orangish color.
Wow.
Or sting nettle, for example, gives you a lovely green. Dandelions, you can put that out in the sun in the water and let it seep for a month and you get a bright yellow. It's so much fun.
All right, Shaylin, and then what are we doing with these dyes that you're making?
I usually like to dye wool, and then I can spin it in the yarn, and I get mix the colors, and it's a fun experiment. You really never know what you're going to get.
That's super cool, Shaylin. Thanks a lot. I've not heard about that before. That's a great hobby. Thanks for calling in at 800-642-1234. Our own Sarah Hopeful says, festival season, baby. Lots of ease on that baby. The potential to see a particular band live in person. I'm bleeping the name because it's my band and I want to plug that. And she says outdoor music in general. That's a fine thing to do when it's nice outside. Back to your calls now at 800-642-1234. Chris is with us in Menominee. Chris, hi.
Hi. Yeah, listening to the conversation here. So my wife and I are both kind of big history buffs. And we really look forward to the warm weather to get out, and we kind of go traveling the state trying to find all the back roads and rustic roads if you can, and to see how the architecture has changed and how the towns and counties have changed over the years. And that's something we really look forward to each year.
That's fantastic. Chris, do you have either a favorite one you've done that for in the past or one you're, that's maybe on your list for this season?
Well, one that we always look forward to, there's a little town down in southeast Wisconsin that runs an electric railroad. It used to be the New Berlin line, actually. And we go down there and ride the electric trolley, and it's a nice, it runs between East Troy and Mequonago, Wisconsin. And that's always a terrific time.
Fantastic, Chris. Well, happy touring this year. Thanks for calling in at 800-642-1234. We'll go now to Linda with us in Milwaukee. Linda, hi.
Hi, how are you today?
Good. What's your favorite thing to do this time of year?
Okay, say, you know, all winter long, my windows have been closed, mm-hmm. and it's just, you know, we're just kind of shut off from nature and everything else. My favorite thing is the day that I can open all my windows and let all the sound come in and everything else. And that's to me when it's spring or summer, that's when it hits. So yeah, that's my favorite thing.
I'm right there with you, Linda. I got to say that first time I open up the window and maybe I'll even push it, it's not quite warm enough, and that fresh air comes in. It seems like you get drunk off of that almost. It's like such an amazing feeling to have the fresh air, but it's inside. Do you get that kind of feeling?
It is. And then my cat goes and sits in the window He just enjoys it. We enjoy it. And today is kind of neat because it was so cold this morning. All of a sudden it got warm out. I'm like, oh my goodness, it's warm out. So I start opening windows, but I don't think it's cold again, but it's just a nice feeling.
Yeah, take it when you can get it, Linda. Thanks a lot for that. We are asking you to share your favorite things to do outside or favorite ways to bring outside inside, as Linda did. You could join at 800-642-1234. What have you been looking forward to, you know, when the weather warms up? 800-642-1234 is the number to call. Tom joins us next in New London. Tom, hi.
Good afternoon. How are you today?
Good. What do you like to do this time of year, Tom?
Well, in New London, we have the sturgeon coming up the Wolf River to spawn, and it's a community ritual to go to the shore of the Wolf River and the Embarrass River to watch the sturgeon spawning.
So are you just seeing, like, the water kind of, like, boiling with sturgeon? Like, how many of them are there out there when you go to look?
Well, it depends on the time and the temperature, but we'll see dozens at a time.
Nice.
Coming up onto the rocks. And it's not the same fish every year, I guess. My office is on the Embarrass River, and we get them, like, every third year they come up the Embarrass.
Huh.
Every year on the Wolf.
Excellent, Tom. Thanks a lot for sharing that with us. I didn't know that. And it's like, that maybe it's one group this year and one group another year. Remember, they have a rotation. I'm curious about that. Thanks a lot for calling in at 800-642-1234. Jim joins us next in Stevens Point. Jim, hello.
Hey, good afternoon. So once the weather gets warm, I look at my perennial gardens that are sprouting up and enjoy everything that comes up. I get on my bike and I ride the Green Circle Trail around Metro Stevens Point. And then we begin to do our regional 4 or 5 day trips around Wisconsin, Door County, Bayfield, Ashland, the Driftless area. So those are the things that I look forward to.
And now your perennial garden, Jim, is it a little confused this year because we're getting some cold and some hot and some cold again? How's it doing?
It's very confused. But in spite of the snow and the sleet and whatever else we've had in the last week, little things are coming up, and I've got my first daffodils, and looking forward to the rest of the spring and summer.
Fantastic way to start spring, Jim. Thanks a lot for calling in at 800-642-1234. Still time for you to call in if you want to share the thing you've been looking forward to doing when spring comes, when the weather warms up. Join in at 800-642-1234. Lynn is with us now in Washington County. Lynn, hi.
Hi, I have two things. For a couple of weeks already, even before the ice was off the lakes in Washington County, when we get a little patch of thaw along the shoreline, we've gotten our kayaks out already. And just, it's so fabulous. Wow. And now to paddle when the lake is fully iced over yet, and there's just a 10-foot stretch along the shoreline that you can get out in. That is just amazing. But the other thing is that happens this time of year when the creek beds thaw and the mud warms up, we get that just orchestral toad and frog chirping that happens for a couple of weeks only in the springtime. And we just started hearing it last weekend. It goes for probably 2 or 3 weeks, I think. And it is so loud, we can hear it blocks away from the creek bed. It's amazing.
And I got to ask, I was at, Edna Taylor Park by Monona last week. And I heard, you know, like you say, the frog orchestra going along ponds there. I did not lay eyes on a single frog. Do you ever see the singers out there, or are they just doing
never.
It behind closed doors?
And never. And it's always at dusk, so I couldn't see them anyway.
Same. Yep.
But it's the toads and the frogs that are just waking up in the muck. And I've never seen them either, though.
All right, now I want to ask about this paddling along the iced over lake. Like, I'd be real worried about, I mean, I'm not great on a boat. I'd be worried about falling in. It's going to be, there's a big ice cube in there, right?
Yeah,
the water's really cold.
We're close enough to the shoreline that if you actually do tip over, you should be able to just walk, you know. It's always in that first 12 or 15 feet, you know, where it's probably not more than a couple of feet deep. But it's just glorious to get out there as soon as the water opens a little bit. Washington County, the ice is all off the lake already, all off the lake, so it's open paddling season.
Excellent, Lynn. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. That's great.
Thank you.
Thanks to everybody who called in. Hey, if you still have a story, a favorite activity that you like to do as it warms up in Wisconsin or wherever you are, I guess, you could email ideas@WPR.org. That's ideas@WPR.org. Love to keep sharing these kind of stories over the next few days. So again, send us an email, ideas@WPR.org. Now me, I do a lot of the stuff in the winter, right? I grilled like twice through the winter. I went walking, you know, a fair amount over the winter. But there's a lot of things like that that get better, and I enjoy them more, and I'm willing to do them a lot more often now that it's warming up. So if you've got those kind of things, let us know about it. Email ideas@WPR.org. Send pictures if relevant. If you're out there gathering, foraging things, send us pictures of your haul. If you catch a migratory bird in action, love to see that as well. You can share your springtime activities with anybody. A lot of good inspiration there. Ideas for things to get out and do in the days to come when the weather is a little more stable. Well, coming up after the news, we're going to hear about disagreements over how to finance an estimated $430 million-ish dollars in renovations for the Brewers Stadium. Talk of state funding or state and local public funding. We're going to sort things out, find out who actually owns the stadium and operates it, and a lot of the different options that are on the table. We'll ask for your calls, and again, you can email with your thoughts right now. Do you want to see state money going toward renovating the Brewers Stadium? Do you worry about the team leaving Wisconsin? Let us know. Email ideas@WPR.org. That's ideas@WPR.org. I'm Rob Ferret. Stick around. There's more to come on Central Time. You're listening to the Ideas Network. Central Time, I'm Rob Barrett. Coming up, when we meet somebody new, a common topic is what we do for a living. A guest makes the case that we can have better conversations and get to know people better if we don't start off with, what do you do? Now the American Family Field, where the Milwaukee Brewers play, is slated for some renovations that could add up to something like $430 million over the next 20 years. And state and local leaders are debating how to pay for it. Governor Evers wants to use state money to pay for renovations. He included a plan in his state budget proposal. Republicans in the legislature say that the stadium's a local project that should be funded at least partially by Milwaukee City and County. We're talking about the Brewers Stadium and how hundreds of millions of dollars in renovations could be financed, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you think that state government should contribute, at least in part, to professional sports teams' budget needs and their stadium needs? Should that be done at the local level? Do you want to see no public money to go to these things? Is the revenue brought in by Major League Sports to a community enough to justify at least some level of government support? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Tom Dakin is a business reporter from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He's been following this story closely. Tom, welcome back to Central Time.
Great. Thanks for having me here. I appreciate it.
Before we get to the money side of things, who actually owns American Family Field?
Well, American Family Field is owned by the Southeast Wisconsin Professional Baseball Park District. Sometimes people shorthand call that the Stadium District. That's an agency that was created by state government back in the 90s that was created to oversee development and operation of what was then known as Miller Park. That entity owns American Family Field and leases it to the Milwaukee Brewers.
All right. And why? That's not that old, right? 90s. I remember all the hullabaloo when that got started. Why is there a need for renovations now?
Well, it's a big building that sees a lot of use. And over time, very basic things begin to fail, fall apart. Of course, you try and do the maintenance before that happens. And the catch here is that the Brewers have a lease that goes through the end of 2030. that lease obligates the baseball district, the baseball park district, to pay for major capital improvements. So there's a very specific obligation on the part of that state agency to pay for this stuff. The previous way of doing this was through that 0.1% sales tax that was in five counties in southeastern Wisconsin. That tax went away 3 years ago. The legislature and Governor Evers approved legislation calling for it to go out of, to basically be terminated. At that time, the thinking was that there was enough money set aside from that tax to pay for all these capital improvements going through the life of the lease. The Brewers felt differently, but they didn't say that publicly. They behind the scenes urged the stadium board to do a deep dive to determine whether there was enough money. The stadium district did hire a consultant. It did do a review, and that review concluded that the money set aside would be sufficient. But that review didn't go into anywhere near as great a detail as what the Brewers thought was really necessary. So the Brewers commissioned their own report, and it was concluded that there is actually going to be the need for about $428 million of work over the next 20 years when you factor in inflation, that tab rises to $448 million. Those figures were vetted by a consultant hired by the State Department of Administration. And that's the number we're dealing with right now. So what Governor Evers proposed in his 2023-2025 budget was to make a $290 million payment to the stadium district to help pay for this. That $290 million, combined with the interest it would earn over several years as that money was paid down to pay for all this stuff, and combined with another $70 million already set aside from that previous sales tax that since has gone bye-bye, that would cover all of this over the next 20 years, according to the Evers administration. And in return, the Brewers would extend their lease. I said a few minutes ago that lease goes to the end of 2030. At that point, the Brewers have an option to extend it, or they could choose to go to a different community. Under Evers' proposal, that lease would extend another 13 years to the end of 2043. So in effect, what you're getting is you're going to pay $448 million. You're going to get the Brewers here for 20 years. And what the Evers administration contends, and I have yet to see this actually challenged by anybody, is that the estimated state income tax and state sales tax generated by the ballpark makes the taxpayers whole over that 20-year period. In other words, the amounts basically balance out over the course of time. So we all start with those basic facts, correct? What has happened is Evers' budget proposal is, you probably know, was pretty much declared dead on arrival by the Republicans who control both the state assembly and the state senate. They want to see less spending. They want to see more money devoted to reducing taxes. And in particular, that $290 million that Evers would devote to the stadium, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss has essentially said, that's dead. And we're going to start crafting separate legislation from the budget to face the stadium situation. And more recently, just this week, Voss made it very clear that he expects to see both the city of Milwaukee and Milwaukee County participate in that funding. He specifically cites the Pfizer Forum funding bill from 2015 that had a state, a county, and a city component to it. That's where we're at right now.
Talking to Tom Dakin from Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, looking at the future of the stadium the Milwaukee Brewers play in, how much, if any, public money will go into renovating it in the aim of keeping the team in the city for a long time. You can join in with your thoughts, your reactions, your questions to all of this at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Tom, you just mentioned Republican leaders say the city and county should be part of it. What, if anything, are you hearing from leaders at the city and county level in reaction to that notion?
Well, as you can imagine, they're not thrilled about that prospect. Both the city and the county have some real fiscal challenges, which both the Journal Sentinel and other news media have covered, which everyone acknowledges it exists. And part of what's happening right now with the overall negotiations about the budget, you've got the County Executive David Crawley and Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson, who've been meeting with legislators from both parties and with the Evers administration to try and get more revenue sharing for municipalities, including Milwaukee. In addition to that, they would like to see the county given permission to increase its own local sales tax and devote some of that money to the city as well as to the county. So all this is kind of wrapped up. You know, you've got the negotiations involving the overall budget. You've got negotiations involving the question of increased shared revenue for municipalities. You've got negotiations involving the possibility of that sales tax being increased for Milwaukee County. And you've got stadium funding.
We're talking to Milwaukee Journal Sentinel business reporter Tom Dakin about financing or how to finance renovations for the American Family Field, home of the Milwaukee Brewers. It's an issue in the state legislature, possibly in the state budget or separate legislation, as we're hearing. And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. How do you think renovations to that stadium should be financed? How much, if any, public money should go into it? If so, state money, county, city, where should it come from? Do you think it's worth some level of public investment to lock down the Brewers for a longer time into the future? As we'll hear, one Major League Baseball team getting ready to up stakes and move. Call 800-642-1234. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Barrett. We're picking up our talk with Milwaukee Journal Sentinel business reporter Tom Dakin about the dispute over financing hundreds of millions of dollars in likely renovations at American Family Field, where the Milwaukee Brewers play. Disagreements over where the money should come from, how much, if any, should come from state government, county, and local. You can join in with your thoughts and reactions at 800-642-1234. A little glitch with the phone line. If you had trouble getting through, maybe try again in a few moments. 800-642-1234 is the number to call. Now, Tom, whenever we have these kind of conversations, there's always the question, well, would the team move? And we have news just today that one team's doing that, the Oakland A's, are going to be the Las Vegas A's, or maybe they're going to change the name. That doesn't roll off the tongue real well. Can you talk about the prospect for a team like the Brewers going somewhere else?
Well, that's the ultimate leverage every sports franchise, whether it's Major League Baseball, NFL, NBA has, is the ability to get up and move. And that's why these sports facilities are owned by the public, because the franchises themselves don't want to own it. They want to be able to rent. They want to be able to have the flexibility to get up and move if they don't like the way things are going. And communities generally agree to that if they want to have a franchise in their city. I mean, the Brewers have maintained publicly they very much want to stay in Milwaukee. But again, ultimately, we know that's the leverage they have. They don't need to bring it up. We all know it exists, right? So would they move? I don't know, but I think if you're going to be honest, if you're going to oppose this kind of funding, then you have to at least acknowledge the possibility of that happening.
Let's go to our callers now at 800-642-1234. Paul is with us in Northern Illinois. Paul, hi.
Hi, love hearing your show, Rob.
Thanks.
We have, I'm in Northern Illinois, and don't tell anyone, I might be a Closet Bears fan. I believe that they are negotiating right now with Arlington. I think it's the previous Arlington Park, the racetrack. I don't know if they're going to do anything, but so this sort of leads me to we're on the same topic, that doesn't having the Brewers in Milwaukee bring so much incentive for Milwaukee to want to keep them, as opposed to Green Bay or Madison or wherever else they might land in the state, thus making it less the state's problem and more the city's?
Gotcha. Paul, thanks a lot for the call. The economic stakes for Milwaukee city and county in terms of what having the Brewers there brings to them, Tom?
Well, let's break that economic benefit down into two sides. On the private sector side, yeah, arguably the caller is correct, because if people are coming in to attend games at American Family Field, if they're coming from Northern Illinois, for example, and we get a lot of Cub fans up here, and we get a lot of fans, Twins fans, I know a few in my family who come down from the Twin Cities, those are folks who are going to stay overnight and presumably at a hotel. They're going to spend money on that. They're going to spend money on restaurants and other things. And that does provide an economic benefit to businesses in the Milwaukee area. But I would submit that is a relatively small fraction of the overall fan base coming to American Family Field. I think most people coming there are probably not doing overnight stays. And any economist would tell you that if the Brewers went away, the money being spent at the ballpark is discretionary spending, right? It's not like making your mortgage payment or buying your groceries or paying your utility bills. This is money you choose to spend there. So you would choose to spend it presumably on other forms of entertainment and leisure. The other side of the economic benefit is what I talked about at the beginning of this discussion, and that is the sales tax and the income tax that's generated by having the Brewers here. Think of the Brewers as just another business. Instead of calling them Milwaukee Brewers, think of them as ABC Widget Incorporated. ABC Widget Incorporated has a payroll. Thus, they have workers who are generating state income tax. ABC Widget buys goods. They're paying sales tax. That money isn't going to the city. That money's not going to the county. That money is going to the state of Wisconsin. And that's the strongest argument to make to say that the state should be paying for this, because the economic benefit generated is distributed throughout Wisconsin. Some of that money does come back to Milwaukee, as we said earlier, in the form of shared revenue. Milwaukee would like to get more of that back for obvious reasons. But some of it goes to Green Bay, some of it goes to La Crosse, some of it goes to Howard, some of it goes to Sheboygan, some of it goes to Wild Rose. I can start naming every obscure Wisconsin community, but you get the drift, right? So that's the way you have to look at it. And again, Speaker Voss, who's basically speaks for the Republican Party in the state assembly, doesn't really dispute that there is an economic benefit there. But I think he's still, for purposes of selling this to his Republican Party caucus, would like to see local participation and funding end of it.
Thanks a lot for that call. Chris joins us next in Fairchild. Chris, hi.
So my question is, you know, my understanding with these, with MLB, NFL, you know, each one of these different sports large franchises, is that there seems to be this sense that, you know, this is always pressure on the states to perform, or they threaten us with this notion that they will pull out and go to another city. And, you know, it seems like the intention is always to be kind of a symbiotic relationship, but, you know, more so now than ever, it seems like it's a little bit more one-sided. It seems like these deals are always kind of more upfront for the MLB or NFL.
I gotcha. And Chris, thanks for the call. Tom, I think frustration with what appear to be big money sports leagues, Chris says, being able to rely on public money and threatening to leave if they don't get it.
Oh, sure. Every time I write about this, and I've written about it several times, I was the one who broke this story that this was coming, God, back in February of last year, 2022. Inevitably, I hear from people say, well, Mark Antanasio, who owns the Brewers, he's the majority owner. He's a very, very wealthy man. He is. Why doesn't he pay for it? The response is because he doesn't have to. He has a lease. Again, the Brewers have a lease that is a legal contract between them as the tenant and the stadium district as the landlord as to who pays for these renovations during the life of the lease. At the very, very least, the public is on the hook through the end of 2030. That's when the current lease term ends. And again, if you are an elected official, you could very honorably take a stance and say, I don't believe in this. I think when that lease ends at 2030, we shouldn't put one dime of public money into the stadium. And you can take that stance once that lease expires. But again, you have to be willing to accept the fact that they could leave. Now, maybe you think they're bluffing. Maybe they aren't. I'm just saying, if you're going to be upfront about it with your constituents, make them clear. And again, some people would be okay with that. I'm sure there are plenty of people listening to the show right now who just shrug their shoulders and say, yeah, let them leave. But if you want them to stay, you just better be aware of that.
Chris, thanks for the call. Tom, just a half minute left. What are you watching for next on this story?
Well, I think what we're watching for next is probably how this funding formula shakes out. I mean, I can tell you behind the scenes, I'm sure the city and the county's executive, the mayor of Milwaukee, I'm sure they're fighting behind the scenes to avoid having to pay any local money into this whatsoever. And when we do get, assuming we do get some separate legislation later this summer or perhaps even this fall, depending on how long it takes, it'll be interesting to see how it divvies up. And if it's like a Fiserv form type event where you have all three levels of local government paying a substantial share, or whether the state really does take the lion's share and maybe the city and the county play a role, but a very minor role. We don't know, but that's going to be the interesting part going forward.
Tom, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Absolutely. Enjoyed it.
Tom Dakin is a business reporter at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He talked to us today about proposals for financing renovations at the Milwaukee Brewers home stadium. The nation is seeing a decline in youth sports participation. In Milwaukee, some studies have pointed to barriers some inner-city kids face when it comes to playing in sports programs. But Evan Casey has this report on how one inner-city Little League program with a rich history is seeing continued success.
It's a busy day here at the Beckham Stapleton Little League in Milwaukee. Players are trying out for spots on the roster at the facility's indoor practice space. That's the voice of Tawina Duncan, a coach for the league. As a kid, Duncan would help operate the scoreboard during games. Now, she gives up many of her weeknights to help volunteer. She says it's a positive way to help keep kids off the streets in the summer.
But this is something positive to get them on a straight and narrow path. It teaches them teamwork. It teaches them camaraderie. It teaches them responsibility. It teaches them that you don't have to be perfect to be successful.
The Little League was founded in 1964 by a former player for the Negro Leagues. And even today, most of its players are black. It began with just four teams. Now, over 300 children, ages 4 to 16, play against each other. Duncan's son Matthew is one of those players. He started playing baseball when he was just 5 years old.
I was screwing up, but I didn't give up and I kept trying. And now, a couple of years later, I'm 12 years old, won the championship game, and going on to the juniors now.
Nationally, participation in youth sports has been declining in recent years. A report from the Milwaukee Youth Sports Alliance found cost and safety concerns can keep low-income youth from playing in the league. It also found that some schools have gotten rid of their sports programs altogether. Quentin Prince played for the league as a child and is the current executive director of the Alliance. He says youth sports should be for everyone.
And so if we can elevate youth sports, give them an outlet, and allow them the opportunity to be engaged in this activity, but then also all of the benefits that come from it, you know, we could change the trajectory of so many lives in a positive way.
But it's not easy. In 2020, the Wisconsin Policy Forum found a lack of funding was the biggest challenge for youth sports organizations in the city. Many programs in Milwaukee, including the Beckham Stapleton Little League, rely on private donations and fundraising. But Prince believes the community can come together to fix the issue.
And that means the youth sports organizations working with corporate foundations, working with the school system, across the board, we need just a network of partnerships where people are coming together to support this effort.
Meanwhile, the Beckham Stapleton Little League is defying the trend. It's seen what its president Jim Bray calls, quote, an explosion of players in recent years. That's largely because they now have a new softball program for girls. Bray says he spends much of his time talking to potential sponsors, since some players need help buying gloves and cleats.
Our statement is that anybody who registers will play, and we will work out, get sponsors, do whatever we can.
Since its start, coaches and volunteers with the Little League have mentored over 25,000 youth in Milwaukee. Alumni include police officers, teachers, and lawmakers. Devin Harris, a former NBA player for the Dallas Mavericks, played in the league in the 1990s. Back at league tryouts, Matthew Duncan says he has high hopes for his future baseball career.
I plan on making it to the professionals, and once I'm out of there, I plan to become a brain surgeon.
Games begin this May. Evan Casey, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Coming up tomorrow on The Morning Show with Kate Archer Kent, a poverty researcher joins the show to look at the impact of work requirements on federal assistance programs and the people who receive them, plus what it costs to actually implement those rules, to put them into action. As always, you can join in with your questions, your thoughts, how you'd like to see these things handled at the state and federal level. You can get started right now if you have a question or an experience to share. You could email ideas@WPR.org. That's ideas@WPR.org. Then join the conversation tomorrow at 7 on the Ideas Network. Have you ever been swimming in a lake or river or ocean? Maybe you're on a boat and you lose something in the water and figure, that's gone for good. I've thought about that, you know, taking a picture from a bridge. Like, if I fumble it now, this phone is not coming back. That's usually true, except not always. As reported in the Washington Post a few weeks back, I just saw this today, a resident of Colorado had this happen to her 13 years ago. She had a digital camera while out tubing on a river. You can guess what happened. She hit the rapids. Camera gone. But not forever. Earlier this year, someone fishing about a mile downstream from that spot found the camera. Didn't look good. He thought it was trashed, but he took it apart, got the memory card out, realized it still worked. There were pictures from a wedding and bridal shower. He posted a description of the events on a community social media forum. Word got around. The original owner found it, was reunited with the memory card and the memories from 13 years later, earlier. I lost a sandal in a river a long time ago. I guess I shouldn't give up hope. This is Central Time.